I always look forward to talking with you. Tell me what you'd like to discuss before I get on to my agenda.
We just, so you know, we have a strategic planning meeting next week. You know, we do those quarterly, and so if you have some items that we need to go over or that we need to discuss in a strategy meeting, now's a good time to put those on the agenda. I don't think anybody has anything that we need to discuss at this time, so why don't you start with yours, Ron?
Okay, I think I think I'll hit on some things, Melanie, that that you might want to talk about at the strategic planning meeting. This is the eighth of our 9 monthly calls. Next month is our last scheduled call. Today I'm going to follow up on some of the issues we've discussed over the past year and see if there are areas that need focus for our last call. And obviously, from what Melanie just said, maybe items that you might want to talk about in your meeting. Any success stories to share, Melanie?
You want to talk about McLaren, the trust?
Yeah, Rob, we've had some pretty good business to come in, supernova level type business over the past month. You know, with the Conleys, we rolled over $3 million. We may have talked about that last time. There's another trust that we transferred from, you know, to an existing client, just added around $750,000. Those are the most two recent things that we've done. There's been a number of existing clients where we have converted transactional business to fee-based business that are Supernova clients. And that's as a result of just the regular quarterly review process, which has been good.
And then I wanted to just comment on, we now have, through Comerica, the opportunity to do trustee IRAs. And, you know, there's only Maryland's Trust that had that opportunity, and it was something that, once people understood it, is a pretty big selling point, and I was hoping we'd talk about it in a strategy meeting so that we could put together a piece that would help people roll over their 401ks they've left at their companies to go into a trustee IRA.
Okay. Good. Tim, you mentioned a $3 million piece of business coming over, and another $750,000 trust. Anything in those transactions or those situations that is repeatable, something that you could use with other clients?
Yes. I think the resulting business, I think, was due to a true team effort and demonstrating to those clients the value that we bring, which enhances trust and confidence in the eyes of the client. The actions that we took to garner that business, absolutely, it's repeatable.
Tim, this is if we were in court, this would be a leading question, so I'm just warning you up front. Do you feel that you have an increased confidence in being able to describe and to live your brand?
Yes. I mean, I think the structure, the foundation of, you know, our business practice, you can rely on that practice, that structure, and because of that, yes, it does give you confidence that, you know, you are providing value to prospects or existing clients where we want to gain more wallet share or bring in more business.
Yeah. Yeah. The it's important that you understand that what you do is different. It's not, you know, you're not the best stock picker or mutual fund picker in North Carolina. You never have been, and if you are, you won't be next year. But what you do have is a service model that is distinctly different from most people. There are these firms out there that represent themselves as boutiques. Have you ever heard, you know, they don't do anything special, they just label themselves as boutiques? What they're really trying to talk about there is a different level of service, and that's what you all are offering. It's really important that, I mean, you're competing on a much different plane for new business than you would have been prior to being able to specifically talk about your brand. You with me on that?
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's real. It's real. Okay, I sent out last week, and then I sent it out last month, and I sent it out again yesterday just to make sure. You all should have gotten a document that says 12 topics financial advisors can discuss with clients. Does anybody have that in front of them?
Yes.
Okay. We didn't talk about this last month, did we? I have it in my notes. We did not.
We did not.
Okay. Here's the purpose. These are 12 topics with questions that we think can help you get to know your client better and your prospects. This is not something to put in your folder and say, okay, I ask question A under number two. This is here to remind you, if every conversation that you have with clients or prospects is about dollar signs and decimal points, you're probably not taking full advantage of deepening that relationship. I always want that to be in front of you to make sure you're asking these types of questions. Having said that, there are some pretty good questions on here. One on here, I like a lot of them, but one of them is, if all jobs paid the same, what would you do for a living? You talk about really getting to know someone really, really well. Tim, if all jobs paid the same, what would you do for a living?
I don't know. Probably play basketball.
Well, you're a big basketball fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What college team, you got a lot to choose from there. Which one do you root for?
So we're a Tar Heel family.
Okay. All right. Did you go to North Carolina?
Pardon me?
Did you go to North Carolina?
No, I went to UNC Wilmington. I grew up near there, though. My wife went to Carolina.
Yeah. I fully understand what basketball is in North Carolina. Two of my children went to Wake Forest. So here's my point. I asked Tim a question, and I know Tim a little bit better. I could carry this on, but I know Tim's a basketball fan. I know they're a Carolina fan or whatever. The point I'm trying to make here is make sure that you're having conversations beyond just the balance sheet. I know you do this, probably do it intuitively, but just want to make it a front-of-mind thought process for you. Any questions on that?
No.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
You all have been a team for 15 months. I'm going to ask you what it might seem like a strange question, but I have a reason. Here's the question, and Amelia, I ask you, if you could go back to February of 17, which is when you told me this, your team started, what would you have done differently? What do you know now that you wished you knew back in February of 17?
I think I probably would have taken more time to get to know, ask some of these questions of my future teammates. You know, there's seven of us, and we're just kind of scratching the surface on what makes everybody tick beyond our job responsibilities and our things here at Morgan Stanley. So you know, having, if I had the luxury and if I had, you know, the assets and the money and that sort of, and didn't have to go through compliance, I mean, I would think they can hold seven people for 2 days off-site somewhere and kind of going through some of these things would be really helpful in, you know, understanding the people that I work with and what motivates them and what doesn't and that sort of thing.
Do you think you've learned those things since February of last year, or is there still some work to do there?
There's still some work to do there.
Okay. Really, really important stuff, knowing the team, everybody knowing each other well. From a structural point of view, anything you would have done during the team formation part, anything you would have rolled out different, anything else you can think of that if you had known it then, if you'd have known that now, you'd have used it back a year or so ago?
I don't think so. You know, I think that by forming the team and jumping right into the supernova, it gave us the structure that we all bought into. You know, and I believe in it. I think everyone else does too. And so I can't say that I would have done anything different with the team structure.
All right. Tim, same question. Knowing what you know now, what would you have done differently going back to February of 17?
I don't know, Rob. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about it. You know, the thing that's top of mind when I hear that question is the process of shedding the lower end of your book. And, you know, if we had to do it differently, I don't know if we could have, but if we could have, due to contractual agreements with former advisors, we would have done that faster in a more wholesale way. You know, that's probably not a good answer because it's not something we possibly could have done. But we can shortly. We can, you know, over the horizon, we can do that.
Would that be something that would be good to discuss in your quarterly team meeting?
Sure. Sure.
You agree, Melanie?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else there in the team care to answer that question, something they would have done differently going back to the formation of the team? Anybody else?
You know, I'll add another one that probably we couldn't have done, but we're doing now. It is, I always thought it would be good for our team to be in close geographic proximity to one another in the office, just so that, you know, a jazz band plays well when everyone's together and they're reacting to one another, and that truly is what a good team. I think it takes proximity and interaction within the office, you know, in every hour of the day. We don't have that yet, but we're going to do that. Sure.
All right. Do you all sit a long way apart?
Yes, but we're making a move June 1st, and so everyone's going to be a lot closer in proximity.
All right. I asked a question about what you would do differently because hindsight is always 20/20. It's a way to identify items that would slow the completion of your goals that you gave me back when we started in March of 17. Here's what you told me then. You need an efficient practice. You want to streamline the practice going forward. And Joel said he wanted to have more time to prospect. So, Melanie, as you look where we are today versus where we are when we started, do you feel your practice is more efficient?
Yes, definitely.
Is there something more that needs to be done, or is it just a matter of continuing on the process? What do you see? Does anybody, and again, maybe this is a topic for the quarterly meeting, is there anything that the team needs to do more of or less of to make the practice more efficient?
I think so. I think, you know, in this strategy meeting, we've been trying to continue to define roles and responsibilities and backups and that sort of thing. I think that also in the strategy meeting, we're going to have some discussion about Joel's goal of more time to prospect. What does that mean? What does it look like? What do you actually do? What are the activities? And those are the two areas I'd like to get nailed down as far as the roles and responsibilities, so we can be more efficient. And then growing the business, you know, focus, you know, the team, once it's very efficient, really focusing on that growth and those activities for the pipeline.
Melanie, is there anything that you do on a daily basis that really takes you away from what you enjoy doing?
I don't think there's anything that I really do that I really dislike. So I can't think of any one thing. I don't really have a set schedule.
That question is usually answered by something that has to do with operations. Is there anything from the operational side that you find yourself getting sucked into?
Not personally, no.
All right. And this time to prospect more, you know, sometimes that's just doing the easy things. We tend to think of prospecting as going out and going just after new clients, and that's part of it. But a more efficient form of prospecting is making sure that you're using some of the acquisition strategies that we've discussed, and I'll touch on that in a minute. If you're with a client and the client says to Tim, I really love these monthly meetings. Yeah, I know you've heard it before. That's recognition of value and making sure that Tim, in this case, follows up on that. That's a form of prospecting. Ms. Jones, thank you for saying that. Our team works really hard to deliver that type of service. You know anyone else who might appreciate that type of service? So, you know, prospecting is more than just reaching out to new people. Prospecting is making sure that you're getting in as many referral discussions as appropriate. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I think that I know that myself personally, I've become much more aware of that, and although it's not on our agenda because clients can see the agenda, but when we get toward the end of that and we're kind of recapping what we discussed, you know, I had someone who said, the long-term care conversation, he's like, yeah, you know, I can't believe you brought that up. That's a great idea. So the same thing. He retired from GSK, and so we started talking about, you know, do you know other people? And so I've had that conversation much more than I had it, you know, a year ago. And because of the team, I know that they've experienced that we have the capacity to support them and go beyond the expectation of a financial advisor.
All true. Sometimes we advisors, and I was an advisor for 12 years, we make things harder than they need to be. I wanted to reinvent the wheel when, in this example, just making sure that when you're talking to your clients and they recognize your value, you're making sure, if it's the appropriate time, to have those conversations. You've gotten to, your practice is to the point, and this is what Tim and I talked about earlier in this conversation, where it's really, really different. What you do is much different from the other people. And this is a little aside, but something to think about. Melanie, have you ever talked to a prospect and they say they're happy where they are now?
I have talked to people and they said that they're happy where they are.
Well, they're happy where they are because they don't know anything else.
Right.
And I don't say that to be smart.
Well, and I don't say that to them either. I don't say, but you don't know what you could have.
Well, here's what you might say. And again, it's all, people have different styles. I'm glad you're happy where you are. But I would also like to share with you that many of my best clients were happy where they were until they saw what we do.
Right.
That to me, that is not confrontational. We're talking here about efficiency and finding more time to prospect. It's making sure the prospecting is making sure you're using the tools. And then, and this is right out of Rob Knapp, the Supernova advisor, to bring this thing to fruition, the time that you create by being more efficient needs to be used to prospect. That's where it all comes together. Now, how do you track this? Again, I've sent you several times that referral tracking sheet.
Right.
It's very important that be in every client folder, making sure that it reminds you to look for opportunities to have those types of conversations, the referral conversations, and it also allows you to make sure that you follow up with a client. Ms. Jones, really appreciate the introduction to your sister. We had a conversation. It was a great conversation. It could be a very good relationship, closing the loop with the person who refers so they know what happens without giving them the details. Do you feel like your practice, this is another thing you said, is streamlined? Do you think you have the right people in the right seats? And that gets back, and I've spent a lot of time on this in the last two or three calls, about the five-star leadership model. That would be making sure that your practice is streamlined going forward, making sure that nothing falls through the cracks. I think that, getting those assignments down, would be a great conversation for your quarterly meeting.
We have that on the agenda.
Good. Good. All right. We just talked about that. I'm looking at my outline. You've confirmed to me, folks, that on several occasions that you all know what to do. Now it's a matter of execution. Would that still be the case, Tim?
Yes.
All right. Let me just hit on some things, and I'm going back to acquisition strategies. Tim, are you comfortable with the VIPSA conversation? Do you have it in your own words? You recognize that, when people recognize value, are you comfortable with that conversation?
So ask that again, Rob.
With the VIPSA conversation, that's the when somebody recognizes value.
Yeah.
That you confirm that you heard it.
Yeah.
And then, if it's appropriate, you go into the into do you know anyone else who would appreciate that same type of whatever they recognize, that same type of guidance. Well, Tim, I'm drawing a blank right now. Well, do you have a minute to brainstorm? Sure. Well, anybody that you work with, anybody you go to church with, anybody you play golf with, anybody you travel with, you know how to ask that question. No, Tim, I'm still drawing a blank. And the way you extricate yourself is, well, thanks for thinking about it. Just know our team is never too busy to help people like you, and you've planted the seed. You go through the first part of that conversation, and the client says, gosh, Tim, I can't believe you're asking me this question. My sister is just distraught with the service she's getting from Merrill Lynch. You really need to talk with her. I'll have her call you. As you know, that call never comes. So when they say, you really need to talk to my sister, your response is, terrific, I'd love to do that. If you were me, how would you go about getting in front of her? Because given somebody giving you a name and telling you to call them and they'll call you, that doesn't work. So you ask the question, what is the best way to get in front of her? So that whole thought process, that whole script, Tim, are you comfortable with it?
Yes.
All right. When's the last time you used it?
Oh, let's see.
Have you used it in the last month? Have you used it in the last week? I don't need an exact date. I'm just.
Typically, my experience over the last year in having that conversation is through our client events.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think personally, Rob, I need to do a better job of having that VISPA conversation during a quarterly review. But
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, it's more natural or easier to talk about it in these client events where you're giving something other than financial advice to a client, and it's a fun event. So the last sort of conversation was it last week we had the
last week. Mm-hmm.
The boat cruise. So there are a number of referrals from that event where clients once introduced me to a friend or relative, or they actually came to the event.
Okay. All right. Just make sure you're tracking those things, Tim. That's what that referral tracking sheet is for. If you get referred to somebody, you just want to make sure you're following up with them. It's so important that you track this stuff. If I said to you, Tim, where are you for the year, you would know exactly what I was asking you, right? What am I asking you if I say, where are you year to date?
I think we have a structure in place where we had a list.
Oh, no. If I said to you, if you and I are both FAs and we meet at a some kind of function, Morgan Stanley event, and I say to you, where are you year to date? What's the question I'm asking you? I'm asking where you are production wise, and you. If I ask you right now, Tim, where you are year to date production wise, would you? You could get pretty close without looking at anything. Am I right?
Yeah, I hear.
And that's because you've grown up tracking production. That's how you get paid. It would be crazy not to track that. You got to pay the bills. So I want you to have that same focus on the prospecting. It's what's going to fuel the growth. Melanie, do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, like this meeting, we look at every single week our pipeline and what assets we've got coming in and that sort of thing. And so what we want to focus on, and that's just happening through our current conversation. So that referral page is in everyone's file, so that we can track the referrals, and then what we're trying to do now is look at how we make that pipeline or prospect list more robust, not just from our current clients, but from what activities we want to do to meet who we hope to be our future clients. So I think that we've gotten comfortable, and I mean, I would say 9 out of 10 of our new business all comes from current clients. So I think we've gotten comfortable with that. I think our clients are comfortable with it. They refer business to us. And what we need to do and what we'd like to focus on is taking it to another level of referrals that are not our current client referrals, but how we can get in front of people that we want to be our clients.
Are you talking about centers of influence?
We've been doing that. That's, you know, still, that's a long process, but we've got it into a process, somewhat a supernova process for our COIs. But I'm talking about the activities that you do outside of your working hours.
All right. Are you talking about, like, civic charities and things like that?
Yeah, board positions,
yep.
Civic and charitable and all of those things that, you know, we all have different interests in, and we're determining what they are and how we're going to use those.
Okay. The one thing I would point out about those, there are two important things about serving on boards or being involved. Number one, you have to have a passion for what you're doing. People figure out pretty quickly who's there because they, you know, have a belief in the symphony or whatever. They figure out pretty quickly who's there to pass out business cards and who has a passion. So it has to be something that you all, it really means something to you. The other thing is it's important to be well seen within the board, running committees, doing the things that have you in contact with people who see who you are, that you do what you say you're going to do. Just to join an organization and not have a goal of being in a leadership position is not getting full use of your efforts. You with me on that? Okay. Here's one other thing, and then I'm a little past my time. One other thing that's really important to you is that weekly game board where you're all talking about one or two things that are important for you to get done over the next five business days. It's how you hold yourself accountable. It's how you get things done. I've talked about that a lot, but Melanie, I would make that part of the quarterly discussion. Here's what I'd like for you to think about between now and our next call, our last call in June, is I think you're missing an opportunity around expanding a niche. I want to spend a little time on that in month nine. The niche that you all have given me, Melanie, you mentioned divorcees, widows, professional women, business owners, and Tim, you mentioned BlackBerry employees and older ladies. So one of the most efficient things you can do is to expand a niche. And
Tim,
I want to talk about. Say it again.
Tim.
Oh, is it? Hey, Rob. I would. When I think of niches, I'm thinking of a market segment that you would have captivated by something that you can bring to them specifically, something of value. And when I think of niches, the first thing that comes to mind is not necessarily elderly widows or employees of a particular company, but I think of things like sustainable investment strategies for people who have sensitivities to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that advantage, is a niche.
To Morgan Stanley and to our group.
Yeah.
Well, let's just think about that for a second. Do you have people in your practice right now, Tim, that have leanings toward that type of investing?
Yes.
Well, that is a niche. And the niche conversation is ultimately gets to do you know anyone else who this type of investing would be important? So there's nothing wrong with that being a niche. but there's nothing, period, no but. There's also to have a niche of widows. That's a niche also. And what you find when you work in a niche, or at least what we have found, is when people work in a niche, they get to know that niche very well. Niches have different value, not values, but different likes and dislikes and needs. So I don't rule anything out as a niche, but you told me BlackBerry employees, right?
I have a group of folks who do work at BlackBerry.
Are there other folks at BlackBerry you would like to have as clients?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So why would that not be a question? And again, I'll talk about how to set that up. We talked about it, gosh, way back in June of last year. I'll refresh that. But I'm not closed to any niches, Tim. I never thought about that type of investing as being a niche. But I know that's very, very important to some people. It seemed to me would be an easy niche to expand. So I don't rule anything out. But that's what I want to spend some time with when we talk next time. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Like what you're doing, we'll talk. Gosh, in June, the year will be almost half over. Unbelievable.
Thanks a lot, Rob.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Bye.